Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
What happens in the realm of the spiritual doesn't always make sense. In fact, it's when logic fails that we reach out to God and say, okay, God, I've tried all of this and it just is not working. And I really need you to step in and I need you to make a difference. And I'm going to go in the Bible today, surprise. And we're going to begin reading from the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. And this is the roll call of the faithful is what it's called. It's the chapter, it's the great chapter of faith, just like 1 Corinthians 13 is the great chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 14 is the gifts of the Spirit. And there's chapters that are devoted to certain subject matters. And by the way, if you're wondering why there's so much snow, the kids prayed in kids club that there would be lots of snow. And Sister Laura Palomino wanted snow for her birthday, which is tomorrow. And they're ministering in Myrtle Creek today. So it's their fault that there's a lot of snow. We had 9 inches at our house. Some of you had a foot. And it's quite a path out that hill. But God's with us and we're here in the house of God. And this is just our once a year or twice a year snowstorm. And we're just going to enjoy it and have a good time. The book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." So that's a nice analytical description of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's something that we can roll around in our cranium and hopefully it sticks somewhere and say, okay, faith is a substance. Okay, that's what I'm hoping. But I want to go to the emotional part also. And in verse number 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and all the prophets. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise," the Holy Ghost, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." And I want to preach on this subject matter today, the feel of faith. Thank you for standing and you may be seated. For those of you who come on Tuesday nights, we've been teaching on prayer and we're going to continue that week after next. And we were talking about praying in the Spirit. And at the conclusion of our remarks, we began to pray together and the Holy Ghost came in and Brother Tim Lawson asked if he could speak. And this is one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's the word of knowledge. And he said he was praying and God spoke to him and said, God's going to do marvelous things. And he said, what you need to do is that when faith fills your heart, when you think of something, when God gives you a promise, stay there till faith fills your heart. Then get up from prayer. So he said, when you have this idea, stay, meditate on that thing until you believe it's going to happen. I don't know about you, but I remember asking my parents for things, and I really had to psych myself up for some things and say, now, how do I do this? Now, how do I ask this? You have to really convince yourself that you could maybe convince them that they could give you that outlandish thing that maybe they usually wouldn't give to you. The scripture says, Abel by faith offered a sacrifice. Enoch was translated and bypassed death. Noah built an ark by faith. Abraham left home and looked for a city. Sarah received strength to conceive at 90 years of age. Abraham offered up Isaac, believing that God would still give him his promise. By faith, Joseph asked for his bones to be returned to the land of promise when he died, knowing that God had promised his seed would inherit Canaan's land. By faith, Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. By faith, Moses refused to be called an Egyptian, and he went before Pharaoh and left Egypt, suffered in the wilderness. By faith, kept the Passover. By faith, passed through the Red Sea. And Rahab, by faith, hid the spies. All of these I can understand, for they performed great things. We often tell of the stories of these great heroes of faith, and we rejoice at the conquest and the endurance of these men and women, and we applaud their foresight and their confidence in God. We try to emulate their character, and even those whose specific exploits are not mentioned in this roll call of the faithful, we applaud them. And I preached about the judges of Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and Gideon, as well as King David, and challenged all who would hear that they would reach for that place of faith that was shown by these individuals. But there's one name in this group that mystifies me at first reading. The Bible says, and Samson. And Samson. By faith, Samson. Samson? Really, God? Come on, that guy has issues. He has problems. He's the guy that we hear about, and mama and the teacher say, no, 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 shame on Samson. You don't want to be a Samson. No, you don't want Delilah. Nah, who names their child Delilah? I knew a guy that named his Carmen Gia Delilah because it took all his money. But here it is. It's that, you know, who names their kid Delilah? There's one on Smooth Jazz named Delilah. But, you know, Delilah's the guy that was responsible for the downfall of Samson. And usually when we think of Samson, we think of eyes plucked out. And we think of him walking around the grist mill like an animal grinding out the grain for the enemy. Samson? Really, Samson? Now, the pre-Delilah exploits of Samson, he tore a young lion apart with his bare hands. He slew 30 men and stripped their garments to pay a debt. He caught 300 foxes and he tied them tail to tail and lit their tails on fire with a firebrand. And the pears sent them loose among the corn stalks of standing corn and the vineyards and the olive trees of his enemy. He slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. He tore the city gates of Gaza off their hinges and hoisted them over his head and carried them 9 miles away. Samson had felt foxtails in both hands as he tied them, and they wriggled and they tried to get away, and somehow he knotted them. I don't know what kind of slip knot that was, but it must have been amazing. And then he could remember just feeling that wriggling pair and lighting them on fire and letting them go and grabbing two more and tying them together and lighting them on fire. 150 times he repeated that. He knew what a foxtail felt like. He knew what the jawbone of the donkey felt like as he swung it back and forth. And it's just like, you know, it's like having your favorite bat. Yeah, you watch those guys, they pick them up and they swing them and say, no, swing them, bat boy, come on, come on. You know that's not my bat. Ah, that is it. Ting. Ah, that's just right. Even a golfer will do that, and they'll swing the club and they'll dry swing it and say, no, that's not a 200 yard club. That's my 160. I need that wedge. I need to get that out. He had felt new ropes around his wrist and his ankles as they delivered him to his enemy. And then he felt his fists crush against their jaws and their stomachs and their ribs as he slew them, and they ran in fear. He could remember and he could feel the bending steel and the rough hewn timbers of the gates of the city chafing his calloused palms. He could feel the tender hands gently placed in his of a woman, the coarse fiber of a lion's coat as he tore it apart, and the roughness of that hide, and the honey dripping on his tongue. Samson had felt a lot of things in his life, and to this I would say, there is a mighty man of valor. I would say that in the first of his life, Samson had faith. But then he met Delilah. Mom and Dad said, can't you find a woman of the Hebrews? Oh no, that's the one I want. No, you got to do it. No, 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 no. He found Delilah. Judges 16 and 18 says, and when Delilah realized this is what happened, is Delilah got a hold of him. And Delilah was
I think, enjoying his company, but Delilah was compromised because the leaders of the city came to her and said, look, we'll pay you if you find out what his secret is, because he's causing havoc in our land. He's causing terror. One guy, one man's faith, one man that would shake himself and the Holy Ghost would fall on him and he'd feel that Holy Spirit. And as he felt that Holy Spirit, he would jump into action, whether it was to break the bonds and rip into the enemy, or tie foxes together, not worry about getting bitten, or grab the hide or the mouth of a lion and just rend it open. He could feel that and it would come upon him. But as he got compromised because he walked away from his devotion to God and his commitment to his Nazarite vow, and don't try this, guys, but the Bible says he wasn't to ever cut his hair. That was a sign of shame. That was a sign of submission. Just like a woman's hair is a sign of her submission, her uncut hair is a sign of submission to the authority that God has placed over her. He was never supposed to drink any wine. He was never supposed to touch anything that was dead. This was a lifetime vow. There were times that people took these vows for a period of time to punish themselves, almost like fasting, in order to give a vow to God. But this was a lifetime thing, and even his mother and father were not allowed to touch those things. They were keeping him apart for a purpose, for a design, for a God-given design. And so he laid on her lap, and he would. They would say, oh, what do I do? What's the sign of your strength? Oh, tie me with new ropes. And they, sure enough, she did. And then, hey, Samson, your enemy's on you. And he'd shake himself, and he would feel faith. And in faith, he would run after his enemies and chase them down. And then the next time, baby, I love you, man. If you really love me, you'll tell me your secret. And only you guys know how that is, because you can get really compromised because your emotions and all of that passion is given over. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, if you'll just weave my hair into 7 locks, that'll do it. You know, usually when the enemy pushes at us, we get closer and closer to the truth, and he's compromising more and more, and she does it, and again he snaps up and he deals with the guys. And then finally he says, I'll tell you what it really is, it's my hair. If you'll cut it off, I'll be just like any other man. And in verse 18 of Judges 16, when Delilah realized that he had told her his secret, she sent for the Philistine tyrants, telling them, come quickly this time, he's told me the truth. And they came bringing the bribe money. And while he's asleep on her head, on her lap, he begins to cut her hair, his hair. And then he wakes up and he shakes himself, the Bible says. Listen to verse 20. And then she said, the Philistines are on you. And he woke up thinking, I'll go out like always and shake free. And he didn't realize that God had abandoned him. And the Philistines grabbed him and gouged out his eyes, and they took him down to Gaza, and they shackled him to the irons and put him to work of grinding in the prison. This is the place he tore the gates off of. It carried 9 miles away. Now, this is poetic justice to them. Now we found your secret. You're going to grind at the grist mill for us. And he marched round and round and round and round. I am talking about the feel of faith. Is that a hero of faith? Is that the one that we would want to emulate? Are those the characteristics that we applaud? Would you pattern your life after this man? Is this the way that you would want it to end? But this was not the end for Samson. He may not have been able to see, but he could still feel something. I'm preaching about the feel of faith. It's not how you start, it's how you end that matters. It's not where you've been, it's where you're going that matters. It's not about yesterday, it's about today and from here on. God is ready to use you and I. I beg of you, I implore you, I beseech you, don't let the past ruin your present and your future. Don't let your failure to believe God for deliverance or healing or salvation or the infilling of his Holy Spirit to rob you of what he wants to do in your life today and from here on out. I'm preaching about the feel of faith. Touch is a wonderful gift from God, one of the 6 senses. The baby's soft flesh against our cheek, like little Andreas over there, first time in church, just 4 weeks old. The prick of a pin on the tip of our finger, the poke of a sliver underneath our nail, the scrape of barbed wire on our forearm or our calf, burlap from a potato sack, velvet on the lapel of a jacket or the silk of a tie. Ice, fire, snow, wind, sleet, sunshine, sandpaper, used sandpaper, steel, the smoothness of a seam on a countertop, or irregularities in something. These are objects that we have felt frequently enough that we may be able to identify with ease even after many years of not placing them in our hands. There are people that are called to grade fabric. They're called to grade textiles. And you know how they do it? By feel. And they feel the thickness, and they feel the value, and they feel the smoothness, they feel the texture, and they can go up to the machine and they can just feel it, and they can tell what grade it is just by feeling it. They know by feel. These objects we have felt, and the following internal feelings have also been felt frequently enough by us that we can identify them easily. Love, fear, depression, kindness, hate, faith. We can feel them as they begin to come over us. We can feel the irritation as somebody cuts us off on the freeway. Or we can feel the fear as we're driving down the road and we lose traction and we can't correct it quite enough. We can feel love as God begins to invade our heart. Or the person that we've been attached to for years speaks our name. We can feel faith. We can feel kindness. I'm preaching about the feel of faith. I know faith is a substance, but faith has a feel to it. And you and I know what faith feels like. What I want us to do is dig back into the recesses of our mind and think about that time where you knew you were forgiven. You raised your hands in that watery grave before you ever stepped out of those steps and you said, something happened in here. I'm light. It's different than before. And maybe you weren't baptized correctly. And then you were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you went, woo, there's something different that happened inside of me. And you used to be bound, but now you're free. You used to be confused, but now you think clearly. I want you to think back to those times when the Holy Ghost spoke to you. And you're in the middle of worshiping. And all of a sudden, God says, go pray for David. And you walk over and you lay your hands on his head or your shoulders. And you begin to pray for him, and you just feel the Holy Ghost surge through you, and you walk away because you don't even know what it's for. You don't even know. Sometimes God says, you need to pray for that individual, and you know exactly what you need to pray, and you lay hands on them. Or maybe it's at the altar time, and you're worshiping, and you're reaching out to God, and all of a sudden, you feel it, and you say, thank you, God, for the answer, and you speak into existence the things that are not as though they already are. And sometimes we do it with the understanding, and sometimes we do it with the spirit, as we said on Tuesday night. I'm talking about the feel of faith. There's things that we can feel that we haven't felt in years. I'm taking some medicine for it. I think I have a sinus infection. And I told my wife, have you ever been hit in the face? I didn't ask if you've been hit by a guy. But you know how it is. You got a fist fight. And afterwards, it just kind of goes. That's the way my face felt. Not the pain, but that and, you know, the chemical taste and all of that feel is that. That's the only way I could describe it. And it made me think about getting hit in the face or maybe hitting somebody else in the face. There's a feel to it. Faith has a feel. I want us to feel after the faith that God has given to us. What I want us to do is challenge ourselves when we feel that faith to act upon that faith, because God will instantaneously come upon us. You know, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the gift of faith. That's when God supernaturally charges our faith that we normally have and takes us to another level. And that's sometimes what happens during a prayer service or a worship service or our own private prayer closet or when we're just speaking to somebody and we feel like we need to do something. All of you guys, you do have feelings. I've seen you get mad. I could make you mad, probably, just the ego of a man. We have feelings. They're just different than women's feelings. Women, you have feelings. It's all right to act on your feelings when it comes to God. He made us like him. God got angry. God got frustrated. God didn't sin when he got angry, but he expressed it in the temple, didn't he, God in the flesh? You've made it a house of merchandise. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. But God wants to bring deliverance to our world. He wants to bring revival to our world. We see what is happening across the campuses of our nation, and the Holy Ghost revival is coming through. And I'm not endorsing something, but there's a new movie out called The Jesus Revolution. And I remember when the hippie movement was. And in 1971, Time Magazine, for the very first time on the front of their magazine, said, "Is God dead?" And there was no picture, just words. That's the first time they ever had a magazine with no picture on the cover. 1971, that's coming out of the 60s and the sexual revolution and the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy and others and the Kent State riots and the racial riots and the civil rights movement and all of the mayhem in our nation and Woodstock and the sexual revolution and all of that. And I remember some of that, and I remember the angst of that, and I remember 1971. But then something happened in 1974 that the cover said Jesus Revolution, because a revival started happening in Los Angeles. And the question was asked, how can in 3 years it go from "Is God dead?" to "There's a Jesus Revolution"? Don't give up on our world. Don't give up on the promises of God. Don't say no. When you feel the feel of faith, lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Go do what God told you to do. I'm talking about the feel of faith. You may feel like you're just walking in circles around the grist mill and you can't see anymore. You can't see by faith, but all of a sudden you can feel something. The pain in his eye sockets began to lessen with time. And occasionally there was a shooting jab. But he adjusted to his new normal, and darkness became his constant companion. He could only tell the time by when he was taken to the rail. And he could only sense the season by the chill or the warmth of the air. But he could feel something else. And verse number 22 says, "But his hair, though cut off, began to grow again." Ever had a bad haircut? Don't shake your head. No, I see it. No. Very funny. I've had a bad haircut. I remember a preacher friend of mine, Brother Paul Mooney, said that he was out of town and he was getting ready to speak at a conference, and somebody nicked him, and he said he just went and bought some black shoe polish and just, he had black hair. And that's all I could think of. Every time I saw him after that, I said, "Where's the shoe polish? You got a bad haircut." And you can kind of cover it up. But it started to grow, and he could tell and he could feel. You see, the enemy said, "We found your Achilles heel. We found your weak spot. We've knocked you down. But you better keep hitting me while I'm down, because I'm getting up again. A righteous man shall fall 7 times. But rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light." We're getting back up again, folks. I'm preaching something that's in the Word of God. By faith, Samson, God inserted his name in the book of Hebrews. He wanted you and I to read it and see that it ain't over till it's over. We're not dead until we're dead and gone. That's right. And I could see Samson listening closely in the light of day to ensure that no one was looking when he brushed his hair behind his ears. He is less cautious at night when he sits alone in the darkness. At first, perhaps it was just a daydream, and the daydream turned into the thought, and a thought spun out of control into faith, and faith began to make a plan. And there in the midness, in the darkness of night, when the changing of the guard happened, he started with sit-ups in the dead of night, and then squats and push-ups. Was there something that he could chin himself on? Each week he could feel his strength slowly returning bit by bit. He didn't push any harder on the grist mill. He didn't walk any faster as they led him about the yard. He waited for the right time. He waited for the right moment. He wanted to cause maximum damage in the camp of the enemy. And that is my intention. That is your intention. We don't just want to smack him around. We want to decimate the spirit of darkness. How do we do that? Let the light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Yes, I know I said that. But that's how it happens. And the time finally came and they were having a party. They were celebrating their god Dagon. Remember Dagon? Dagon was the guy that, you know, when they stole the enemy's ark, or the years later, they rolled the ark into his tabernacle and he fell over and they put him back up. And the next time when he fell over, his hands and his head fell off. Yeah. Now that's in the future yet. That hadn't happened yet. But they're celebrating. He says, our God has given the enemy to us, the one who ravaged our country and piling corpses among us. And they called in Samson. They said, let's go get Samson. Let's make fun of him. Be careful who you make fun of, devil. You used to have a big L on your head. Just change the bottom of it just a little bit. What's that? J. Huh? Jesus. David Heinlein Jesus. Rick Hare Jesus. It's the name of which the whole family in heaven and earth is named. No word we're baptized into his name. We put on Christ. And it doesn't matter what your past was. I hope something's stirring inside of you. You know, the King James puts it this way, when Delilah screamed, he shook himself at his other times, but he didn't have any power. But the hair is growing back. It's greasy, it's matted, it's ugly, it's uneven. But it's growing, and the enemy isn't paying any attention. Bad mistake. So they sent a little lad after Samson. Isn't that crazy? Because they think, Macho Man is now just a weak guy. Because they had a victory, one victory. Each of us have had a defeat of some kind. Yeah. Don't stay there. No. Just get back up again. Yeah. Just stand up. Having done all to stand therefore. Yeah. And then put on the whole armor of God. And so he's standing and waiting. And then Samson says to the young lad in verse number 26 of the 16th chapter of Judges, put me where I can touch the pillars that hold up the temple so I can rest against them. And once he could feel the pillars, he could feel faith. Hey, boy, get out of here. Thanks a lot. Run till you're out of the compound. Don't stop. Save yourself. And the Bible says in the next verse that there were at least 3,000 in the stands watching his performance. And history would tell us that the roof was full of the enemy. And then comes the desperate prayer of faith in verse 28. And Samson cried out to God, Master God, oh please, look on me again. Oh please, give me strength yet once more. God, with one avenging blow, let me be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson put the feel of faith into action.
And he reached out against the pillars and he pushed against them. Power lifting. One with his right and one with his left. And he says, let me die with my enemies. And the Bible says that the building crashed on the tyrants and all the people in it. And he killed more people in his death than in his life. By faith, Samson. I'm talking about the feel of faith. I'm not just talking to one. I'm talking to many today. I'm talking to all of us today. Quit it. Don't relegate yourself to the past. Quit sucking your thumb. Quit biting your bottom lip and saying, poor me, I failed. God is not a failure. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Peter cursed and swore that he didn't know who Jesus was. But the first sermon he preached, 3,000 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't put yourself in the past. Put yourself in the middle of where God is moving, where God is working, in your prayer room, in the house of God. And let the feel of faith take you where your intellect will not, cannot, never will. And let's see God do the miraculous. Faith can grow back. Just like your hair. That bad haircut is just one haircut away from being fixed, isn't it? And if you'll stand with me, Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We're going to read it in the Amplified. For we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance.
Some of you guys, it takes you 6 weeks before you need another haircut. Some of you might be due today. Some people, it's 3 weeks. I have a brother that's got to have a haircut every 2 weeks. My brother Mark, nephew Jonathan. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're so thick. And I mean, it's twice as thick as mine. And it's like they got 5 days growth in one day. It's like a hairball, you know, just like. Psh. We don't know how long it happened for Samson. But in time, it grew back. So it is for you and I. Faith takes time to grow back, but it could be in this environment, in this atmosphere, after receiving the word of God with faith and lifting your hands in worship, that faith could just, I know that feel. That's not the velvet of a lapel or the silk of a tie or the softness of a baby's cheek, but that's faith. That's not hate. That's not fear. That's love. That's not despair or anguish or depression. That's faith. And in a moment's time, everything that the enemy did to damage you could be revenged or avenged upon them. And you look, I didn't take time to add it up, but you know, jawbone 1,000 guys. 30 garments, just kill 30 guys and take their clothes off them. 20 guys when they tied him up and then he fought them off. I mean, just add it up. He killed more in his death than in his life. If we'll die out to ourselves and we'll live for his cause, there's no telling what havoc you can wreak on the armies of the enemy. And the camp of the enemy. You know why the enemy fights you in the middle of the week? Because he knows what power God has placed in you. So if you feel like he's buffeting you about, you just say, dude, all it's going to take is one good hit, and you're going to regret this. Push back on the powers of the enemy.
In Jesus' name, I rebuke fear. I rebuke condemnation. I rebuke shame. I rebuke the guilt of all past failures in the name of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:39 says, and all of these were all commended for their faith. Listen what verse 40 says, though. Because God had us in mind and had something better and greater in view for us. I haven't picked up in a while. It's in the safe. I have a 300 mag. I remember the day. 850 yards. Stupid, crazy. But they shoot pretty flat. There's the elk trotting across the hillside over the ravine. I don't know how I did it, but I just took bead and aimed it a little high and shot. I didn't hit him, but I could see it hit the ground right in front of his nose. And he spun around and ran the other way. It was that close. Now I shot one later that day. It was closer. It was on this side of the ravine, probably about 300 yards. Fortunately, it got back up and I shot it again. And when I got down there, there were two of them. But it's been long enough, they can't take my stuff. But there's something about the feel of that one. Just give me that one when I go hunting. It's a cannon. It reaches out. It's long. It's flat. It's fast. You just load it up right. How did David feel about the sling? You got your favorite gun. You got your favorite sling. But then one day he found something that was kind of awkward. The sling knocked the giant out, but he's laying on his face and he can still see him breathing, but he's passed out. And he says, what do I do, dude? And he goes up and pulls this giant old sword out of a scabbard. That guy's as tall as that part of the ceiling right there. That's a dude. You know? Forget Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Forget Shaq. I mean, he's a baby. You know, he's just like. Now, if it had been me, I'd have twisted his head around and say, get one last look. But he pulled that up, and the weight of the sword probably cut the giant's head off. And he drug the sword and the head around. And we know that he threw the head up against Jerusalem and said, I'll be back. And it took him years, 20-some years, but he came back and defeated Jerusalem. But that sword ended up somehow in a linen ephod of a priest in a tabernacle. And when David was being chased by his enemy Saul, he had to flee without a weapon. When he got there, he said, Ahimelech, I'm on business for the king, and I don't have any other weapons. Do you have something here? And he says, well, got one. It's a sword. It's the sword of Goliath. He said, oh, there's none like it. Bring it to me. And for somewhere between 10 and 13 years, David carried that giant sword around all the time he was in exile. And that sword was a sword of faith. He could just rub his hand across the hilt of that sword. He could just lick his finger and run it along and get blood. Go, yes. And during the time of his exile, David's mighty men killed Goliath's other four brothers. The feel of faith. Does anybody want to reach out for it today? This altar is open for us to say, God, hit me again with that feeling. I'll act on it, God. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to overprocess it. When you tell me to speak faith and speak healing into a stranger's life, I'm going to speak healing into that barista's life. I'm going to speak joy into that individual's life. I'm going to speak freedom. I'm going to speak deliverance. I'm talking about the feel of faith.
And by faith Stanley, and by faith Stanton, and by faith Lewis, and by faith Christina, and by faith David, and by faith Justin, and by faith Yvonne, and by faith Reggie, and by faith Anka, and by faith Daniel, do you hear your name? And by faith Mar, and by faith Jimmy, and by faith Daisy, and by faith Karee, and by faith Teresa, and by faith Eugene, and Eugene, and by faith Martin, in Jesus' name, by faith Craig, by faith Phyllis, by faith Dwayne, by faith Debbie, in Jesus' name, I reach out to you, Lord.